Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, September 27th, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you all had a great week. Going to go through a list of the topics for today's episode, then we'll jump right into it. So on this edition of the Weekender, we have results for the Ring of Honor Pure Title Tournament, some more round one results to talk about. We have more results for the New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 Climax. We have Day 3 and Day 4 to cover on today's show. We have results for Impact Wrestling, results for 205 Live and NXT UK. We have results for UWN Primetime Live, which featured Thunder Rosa putting her National Wrestling Alliance Women's Championship on the line on that show, similar to Nick Aldis last week with his NWA World title. We also have more results for Warrior Wrestling's Stadium Series. We have a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode titled Sue. That is, once again, the Being the Elite episode titled Sue. So that'll be fun to talk about. And I'm going to give you some really quick WWE Clash of Champions predictions right at the end of the show just to get them out there for you. So before we get started on all those topics, like always, I have my recommended show for you on independentwrestling.tv, and that is Paradigm Pro Wrestling's Same Energy. So the company is called Paradigm Pro Wrestling, and the show is called Same Energy. This show took place on Friday, September 25th, 2020. So just a couple days ago, it happened from Sellersburg, Indiana, and these matches were great. I thought this was just a great show top to bottom. This is what to expect if you want to check this out on IWTV. We had a UWFI rules match between O'Shea Edwards and Hoodfoot Mo Atlas. We had the MidwestTerritory.com championship on the line, Chase Holiday versus Lee Moriarty versus Cole Radrick in a triple threat for that title. We had UWFI rules, Flash Thompson versus Justin Kyle. We had Adam Slade versus Dylan Derringer. UWFI rules match between Juicy Jimmy and Derek Neal. The Paradigm Pro Wrestling titles on the line in a Portal to Pain match. It was DDT Trash, which consists of Ron Mathis and Bruce Gray taking on the Rejects, the team of John Wayne Murdoch and Reed Bentley. We had another UWFI rules match between Nolan Edward and Dominic Guarini. We had Charlie Cruel and Billy Starks taking on 40 Acres, the team of Trey Lamar and PB Smooth in a tag team match. We had Bradley Prescott IV taking on Everett Connors. A Heavy Hitters Championship match. It was a street fight between Bobby Beverly and Matthew Justice. We had UWFI rules match between Calvin Tankman and Brett Eisen. And we also, in the main event, had a Paradigm Pro Championship match. It was a 2 out of 3 falls. Freddie Hudson taking on Hot Fire Myron Reed. This show, as you just heard, is just stacked. A lot of matches and so much talent. I love how Paradigm mixes in the UWFI with like kind of the traditional wrestling, but also they have these matches like street fights, best 2 out of 3 falls, all that kind of stuff. I mean, just a huge variety. They have another big UWFI tournament coming up soon. And I know Dominic Greeny won their tournament from last year. I believe they call it like either the heavyweight or the openweight Grand Prix. I think they call it an openweight Grand Prix, similar to how kind of Pride FC used to do their MMA stuff back in the day. And man, this show was great. This was Paradigm Pro Wrestling's 3rd anniversary show. And I'll highlight some of the talent. You know, I talk about O'Shea Edwards on the show all the time. You can check out previous episodes of the podcast. I mean, I praise him constantly. I think O'Shea has the look. I think that he has the athleticism, the charisma, everything that he needs. He's already got Ring of Honor looking at him. Like, he's done some stuff with Ring of Honor, but he isn't signed to them, at least at the time of this recording, as far as I know. And he's someone who Ring of Honor, I think, could they could definitely benefit from having him on the show. And he could be beneficial for Impact Wrestling, I think, in a big way. And even NXT and AEW, I could definitely see him popping up in one of those, probably even more so AEW, considering kind of the trajectory of a lot of the independent talent, especially the independent talent that I cover on the show on a regular basis. A lot of them have been seen on AEW or are signed to AEW at this point. Some in NXT, some Impact Wrestling, they kind of trickle all over, but I think AEW is where the majority of these people are going to wind up getting chances that I talk about on a weekly basis here on this show. That all being said, O'Shea Edwards is great, and so is his opponent for the night, Mo Atlas, also known as the Hoodfoot. Hoodfoot is somebody that I actually was not aware of until watching some more recent Paradigm shows, and it was something where I was kind of surprised. Like, he has a big fan base, and he just kind of flew under the radar for me for whatever reason. I talked about him with some of my buddies who were more familiar that are really well connected. I know a lot of independent promoters and, you know, ring announcers, commentators, a bunch of people behind the scenes at a lot of these shows. And some of them were telling me, like, Hoodfoot is, like, the real deal. Like, he is, he's somebody that everyone seems to be really high on, and he's somebody that deserves it because, you know, the few matches of his that I've seen so far, we're talking, like, maybe 10 matches total at this point. Because I've went back and I've watched, you know, what I could find of his, you know, from recent kind of years, and I think he's fantastic. I mean, Hoodfoot and O'Shea Edwards is just a great, on paper, it is a great matchup. And I'm looking forward to seeing more from Hoodfoot. He's an interesting guy. Like, he's this really big, strong dude with this kind of, like, it's like this kind of strange gimmick of, like, the Hoodfoot. You know, it's I can't even explain it, but yeah, really great stuff there. Man, I could go on and on for hours about all the talent on this show with all these different matches. Some more people I definitely want to mention, though. Lee Moriarty on this show, I talk about him all the time. He's one of the best pure wrestlers in the world right now, especially on the independent scene. And if you want to get even more specific, you know, within the U.S., I think that, and I tweeted about this during the show, I think that Lee Moriarty, excuse me, would be a great addition to Ring of Honor, and getting a shot at the pure championship at some point would be great for Lee Moriarty and great for Ring of Honor. Super skilled technically, and just getting better every time I see him. Literally the only gripe I have with Moriarty, and this isn't his fault, this is the opposite of his fault, most of the matches I see him and he loses. I watch a lot of stuff on independentwrestling.tv, and Moriarty has been showing up on a lot of different shows, which has been awesome. And every time he impresses, every single time, but he loses almost every time I see him on the platform, which is, that needs to turn around a little bit, but at the same time, and I hope I'm not spoiling anything for this match, because this could be the match where he gets that big win. You also had Chase Holiday, and you had Cole Radrick in that match as well, that triple threat for the MidwestTerritory.com championship. Radrick, I've been watching him wrestle a lot lately as well. He is somebody that it took me a minute to really, I really don't know how to put this. I was very unimpressed for a while with him. And it wasn't because of his talent. It was just like, it's kind of like overcome. It's in a lot of ways, it's like how it was with Marco Stunt until that kind of light bulb went off in my head of me being like, oh, wow, okay, no, this guy's actually really, really, really good at what he's doing. And Radrick is someone that just took me a second. He gets really high praise from, like, everybody, and especially people, you know, shout out to Mouse, Robert Bellamy. It's actually his birthday today. One of the best photographers in professional wrestling, just great dude. And Mouse has been talking up Radrick for a while. I know the two of them travel together to shows and stuff. And that's honestly what kind of made me keep my eye on Radrick. I was like, okay, if Mouse is talking him up, like, I totally trust Mouse, because he's tipped me off on some great talents, such as Marco Stunt, like, really early on in their careers. And Radrick is someone it just never clicked with me until recently. There have been some matches over the last few weeks that I've seen him in that I'm just like, man, this guy is really damn good. And I really, really can't wait to see more of him. I feel like I'm watching him wrestle multiple times a weekend at this point, because he's just making towns, like, going all over the place and just wrestling everywhere. And he keeps getting better and better. So I got to give a huge shout out to Cole Radrick. Some other people to mention on the show, Derek Neal, who's been on quite a run lately. He was recently defeated by Kung Fu Janela, Donnie Janela, Kung Fu Donnie Janela. For the New South title, Derek Neal beat longtime champion Cabana Man Dan recently, and Neal won that gigantic championship belt, probably the coolest title belt in wrestling. And recently, Derek Neal actually lost that belt. But Derek Neal, you know, I'm seeing more and more from him lately, so shout out to him. There was a really great match on this show. I talked about it a second ago while going through the list, but Nolan Edward versus Dominic Guarini, great stuff, especially under UWFI rules. So that's a match to definitely look out for. Nolan Edward is someone who is just similar to like Lee Moriarty. I just see him all over the place right now, and every time I see him, he's getting better. Two, you know, different styles of wrestler. You know, there's some overlapping similarities, but, you know, two definitely different dudes, you know? But as far as, like, just keeping busy and having consistently good matches over and over and over again for everywhere that he works, and see, that's another thing with, like, kind of this level of independent wrestling that I cover so much here on this show is so much of it in my optimism and how much I enjoy this usually really boils down to, you know, good matches, good storytelling, but overall, the most important thing to me usually, to be honest, is the potential. Because you see someone like Nolan Edward, you see someone like Lee Moriarty, O'Shea Edwards, you know, I can go on and on about so many of these people who you look at them and you're like, oh man, like, this is so much untapped potential. They're already so good so quickly, and you know the sky's the limit. Just, it's got to get more reps in. And that's exactly where Nolan Edward is at. He's a guy who I could see definitely being like that upper tier level of indie wrestlers here very soon. I've been talking about it a lot. There's a lot of these people, and some more that I'll mention throughout this show, that I kind of consider to be at the top right now, that are not going to be around for long or as often soon, because they will wind up getting signed by companies like AEW, NXT, Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, wherever. Some of them might be able to continue to do indie booking, so we might see them a little bit here and there. But for the most part, you know, it's really a circle of life with the independent scene. Like, you start off as a brand new wrestler at the beginning of your career. Most wrestlers will start off that way, training and then working independence. You might wind up making it really big on the independent scene, and then you wind up getting signed by a big company. And then you might have a great career, see how things pan out. But then at the end of the day, a lot of them wind up back on the indies at the end of it. And when you get back to that spot, it's kind of cool to see how it all just continues to move along. Because, you know, obviously Nolan Edward is at that point where he's rising the independent ranks. And those above him kind of in the pecking order right now are probably about to get signed. And then, you know, the cycle just keeps on moving. And then before you know it, you know, you see, who's a good example? PCO. I mean, it's an extreme example, but you know what I mean? Like, every now and then you see someone, they have their big runs, they wind up back on the indies, and then they have another big resurgence. You know, it's crazy how it all works out. So yeah, Nolan Edward, huge potential with him. Dominic Guarini, I talk about him so much. Similar to O'Shea Edwards, I mean, I talk about him all the time. Dominic Guarini is a former Bone Storm champion with Southern Underground Pro. I think he does great stuff with MLW and Filthy Tom Lawler, and I love that Kevin Koo, his tag team partner at Violence is Forever, formerly known as Sad Conf, is all now signed together to MLW, so I really, really like that. So, you know, another shout out to Dominic Guarini. And I mentioned him a second ago. He won the Openweight Tournament in 2019 for Paradigm for this UWFI. And he's going to be trying to defend his crown. So really looking forward to that. Billy Starks, got to give her a huge shout out. I think she's going to wind up being one of, if not the best female wrestlers on the planet at some time, you know, in the near future. She's a real anomaly. As far as, like, whereas some people in her position, you would be like, okay, it's going to take a long time, like, because, you know, she's a literal teenager. Like, I'm pretty sure she's, like, 15 or 16 years old. I could be off on that, but, like, I shouldn't say that. I don't want to speak out of school on that. She might be 18, I'm not sure. I know she's a teenager. She's very young. And she is actually the daughter of Mouse, Robert Bellamy, who I was just talking about. And the reason I bring all that up about Starks and, you know, her age and everything is because she's so good. Like, she's so good already. Like, she's good enough to be on, like, major TV right now. Like, not, you know, I wouldn't have her as like the Impact World Champion right away, or like the WWE Women's Champion right now, but she can hold her own against everybody, and she's like just getting started. She eventually will be the WWE or AEW or Impact or all of them Women's Champion. Like, her days are coming, but it is so impressive to see how good she is at her age. I mean, if you're a fan of women's wrestling, especially, but just a fan of wrestling, of course, like, if you're not aware of Billy Starks, you need to get aware fast, because she is the future of, she's the future of wrestling. She really is. She really is. I really don't know a better way of saying it. So impressed with her, and she's going to be so good. And she already is so good. You know, Trey Lamar was in the same match as her. They were on opposite sides of a tag team match. I like Trey Lamar a lot also. I think he's going to be a really big star at some point as well. I mean, Bradley Prescott IV, talk about him all the time, the Natty Daddy. Shout out to Bradley Prescott. He needs a sponsorship from Natural Light. I don't know how he doesn't have it already, but I feel like that day hopefully is coming, because, I mean, if anyone deserves a Natural Light sponsorship, it's that guy. And I love me some Natty. Everett Connor's also on this show. He wrestled Bradley Prescott IV. I mean, another guy. I mean, I saw some of Everett Connor's first matches he ever had at Glory Pro Wrestling. And that was, you know, feels like forever ago already. I guess it was just a few years back. And to watch kind of the progression of his character and seeing what he's been doing, it's refreshing. I like what he does. He doesn't take himself too seriously, and I like that a lot. I mean, Bobby Beverly, Matthew Justice on this show. Beverly is the heavy hitters champion. Matthew Justice, in my opinion, is like, I always talk about that upper echelon of indie wrestlers, that group of people kind of the top of that totem pole, who at any day could be signed by a major company. Matthew Justice is right there. He's one of those guys, and the two of these guys had a really good match. Calvin Tankman, also on that same list of guys that are, he just recently got signed to MLW. Tankman is going to be a massive star. He's a massive human being, and he's going to be an even bigger star. The guy is huge and moves around like a cruiserweight. Has a great look, gets over with every crowd he goes in front of. Every company he's a part of, he winds up being pushed as a major deal. You know, just charismatic. The sky's the limit for him as well. If he can stay healthy, not to say that it's been an issue up to this point. Just kind of, that's really the only thing that I feel like could possibly stop a guy like him is, you know, as long as he stays healthy, he's gonna be a superstar as somewhere. And I think it's going to happen sooner than later. And, you know, he went up against Brett Eisen, who's my boy. You know, like, that's, you know, that's Nashville wrestling right there. Brett Eisen, the longest reigning SUP Bonestorm champion of all time. He's really good friends with some of my really good friends. I consider him a friend. We don't know each other super well, and I know he keeps his circle very, very small. But the fact that I've infiltrated that circle even just a little bit, to the point where I'm comfortable talking to the dude and just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like Brett Eisen's he's a good guy, and he's somebody I'm really happy is getting as many opportunities as he is right now. And, yeah, like I said, I mean, he's the face of Nashville wrestling, straight up. And, I mean, Freddie Hudson, Myron Reed in the main event, so good. Both of these guys are great. Myron Reed, another guy that I saw for the first time in Glory Pro years back. He's another guy that, like, it's actually baffling to me that he hasn't been a part of, like, Impact or NXT or AEW up to this point. He's another guy, same with Tankman and Matthew Justice, that same group of guys. He's, any day, he'll be picked up by one of those companies. And Freddie Hudson, I think, is really great in front of the Paradigm crowd. I haven't seen too much of him outside of Paradigm, though, so I want to see him, I want to see him succeed in other areas too, and he probably does, and I'm just somehow unaware of it, but I do want to see more of Freddie Hudson. I think he's a really, really natural babyface, and I like his stuff a lot. So that's, you know, my recommended show this week, Paradigm Pro Wrestling, Same Energy. Check it out right now on independentwrestling.tv. Moving on, we have Ring of Honor. So their Pure title tournament continued this week, and we had opening round matches First one was Dave Finley defeating Rocky Romero. Got the win with a brainbuster onto his knee. I called this one, so far I am right in all my predictions up to this point with the tournament. Finley with the win over Romero. I think that totally makes sense. Rocky Romero doesn't need the win in this. Dave Finley, still a young up-and-coming guy. Obviously, his dad, Fit Finley, is, you know, a legend. I want to see more from Finley. I think this made all the sense in the world, and it was really good. But everything, by the way, for this has been good. This whole tournament so far has been great. I think this is can't-miss stuff if you're a professional wrestling fan. We also had another first-round match where Matt Sydal defeated Delirious. He actually got the win with a Cobra Clutch. Now, I'm not sure if this was because of the pure rules, or, like, I was going to put it out like this. I have not seen Sydal attempt a shooting star press since AEW Double or Nothing, since that Casino Battle Royal botch. And I'm not saying that there's, like, but that's, like, you know, an actual thing. Like, maybe it's just a coincidence. I don't know. But I do think it's strange because you think of him, you think of that move. But then also it's like the Ring of Honor pure title. So, like, winning with a Cobra Clutch is on brand there. So, and honestly, him establishing the Cobra Clutch more as a finishing move, I think is really smart because then he doesn't have to rely on the Shooting Star Press so much. And that will also carry over into other companies. Like, if you start submitting people in AEW with the Cobra Clutch, I think it's always good to have multiple finishing moves in your arsenal. Moves that, I talk about it all the time, but for those that are newer to the show, I'll just, you know, go over this real quick. Like, I think someone like AJ Styles is genius for the way that he has, like, five finishing moves. Because at any point in the match, if you see him hit a calf crusher, a Styles Clash, a phenomenal forearm, a springboard 450, there's probably a spiral tap, even though he hasn't used that move in a long time. But there's probably more that I'm missing off the top of my head. But he does any of those moves to you during the match could be over. And he wins matches with those moves. So I really like people who do that. And I think that Matt Sydal adding the Cobra Clutch on as a finisher on top of him having the Shooting Star Press, having that diversity of having a submission finisher as well as one that can get the pinfall, I think that's only going to help a guy like Sydal. And yeah, I was right on this too. I had Sydal winning. So yeah, I mean, just more really good stuff. So as far as where we're at in the tournament right now, on the Block A side, it is official that we'll now have Jay Lethal taking on Dave Finley in the next round. We still have first round matches that haven't happened yet, where Silas Young and Fred Yehi are going to square off. I have Yehi in the upset for that one. And we have Williams and Taylor. I have Hot Sauce Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams. Hot Sauce Ricky Williams. Oh, that is hilarious. Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. I'm not going to edit that out. Hot Sauce Ricky Williams. Shout out to Ricky Williams, the former NFL running back. But I have Tracy Williams getting the win there. Then over on Block B, it is now official that Jonathan Gresham, who advanced over Wheeler Yuta, is going to be taking on Matt Sydal, who advanced over Delirious. So we have Sydal versus Gresham in the next round. And we have yet to see Woods versus King. I'm going to take Keddie King over Josh Woods there. And we have PJ Black taking on Tony Deppen. And I'm going to take Tony Deppen in an upset in that one. So, yeah, really great stuff from this tournament. And I'm looking forward to covering it as it continues. So, you know, still some great first-round matches coming up. And then it's already, you know, cooking up in the crock pot. We already got some second round matches that are looking like they're going to be fire as well. So really looking forward to more Ring of Honor pure title tournaments, more tournament matches over the next few weeks. I shouldn't even say few weeks. It's going to be going on for a while. I think it's like 8 weeks total. So we got a long way to go, but it has already been a hell of a tournament. Moving on, we have G1 Climax results. So we have day 3 and day 4. I'm going to start off with day 3. In a non-tournament match, kicked off with Gabriel Kidd defeating Yuya Yamura. We had tournament matches for the rest of the show. So we had Jeff Cobb defeating Takachi. We had Okada defeating Yujiro Takahashi. Taichi defeating Minoru Suzuki. Will Ospreay defeated Tomohiro Ishii. And Jay White defeated Kota Ibushi. So, as far as my personal opinions on some of these matchups, I love seeing Jeff Cobb get the win. He lost his last match of the tournament, so he needed this. And Jeff Cobb's a guy that, you know, from what's been reported, he's signed exclusively to New Japan Pro Wrestling right now. So I hope if he signed to them and, you know, didn't come to AEW or wherever else he was offered, I hope that they push him, because Jeff Cobb's a great talent, but he hasn't been, like, super strongly pushed in New Japan up to this point. And him being a part of this tournament, I think, is obviously it makes you optimistic that they think highly of him. He might have been in the tournament last year as well. I can't remember. But I think that, he has to have a good run in this tournament. I don't think he's going to win the whole thing by any stretch of the imagination, but good to see him get this win here. Okada over Yujiro Takahashi, that has to happen. I'm not a fan of Yujiro Takahashi. Like, I know a lot of people agree with me. I just feel like he's just kind of meh to me. Like, he's okay. Like, he doesn't suck. It's nothing like that. It's just like, there's just so much talent in New Japan. And Takahashi, I feel like, has been around forever. And for years now, I've been doing mostly the same stuff. And Okada's, in my opinion, the best ever IWGP Heavyweight Champion. And I know that's saying a lot, but I really think he's the best of all time, as far as New Japan is concerned, especially. So, you got to do Okada over Takahashi for sure. Taichi over Suzuki, I'm not huge on that. Like, I like Taichi, but I love Suzuki, and that's a lot of bias on my end. Like, I'm just a huge fan of his. He's a legend of mixed martial arts, a legend of professional wrestling. I pretty much root for Suzuki every time he's in there. Really, the only time I ever go against him is when he wrestles someone like Ishii, who I'm going to talk about here in a second. And like him and Ambrose, John Moxley, you know, I don't care. I shouldn't say I pull for Ishii or I pull for Moxley. It's just I like both guys in those scenarios. It's like 50-50. But most of the time, I'm very, very pro Suzuki in his matches. So, but yeah, Taichi getting the win here is fine. I love Suzuki. Ospreay going over Ishii. I'm fine with this because Ospreay should really be pushed, like, to the world championship level. Like, if he won this whole tournament, I'd be really happy. I picked Tomohiro Ishii because to win the whole tournament because he's my favorite guy in New Japan currently. I'm just a huge Ishii fan. And, you know, before that, you know, Shibata was my guy, and I loved watching Shibata and Ishii go at it. But Ospreay is someone who they can really build a company around. If he's going to stay in New Japan long term, he's got the build now. Like, he can do everything, literally. Like, he can do every move you can ever think of. He can do all these moves that you would never think of as well. I mean, he's wrestling like a heavyweight more now. Also, he looks more like a heavyweight, but he still does all the high-flying stuff. He has strikes that could take you out, high-flying, you know, aerial arsenal that could take you out. So, I mean, just, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world in any company. And I'm totally fine with Ospreay beating, you know, anybody. If he won this whole tournament, once again, I'd be happy for him. Personal bias, though, I love Ishii. He, like I mentioned before, he's like my favorite wrestler in the company. And I want to see him win this whole tournament. I know that's not going to happen, but I'm trying to put those vibes out there for my boy Ishii. Then Jay White going over Ibushi. Like, this isn't surprising because New Japan loves Jay White, but, like, if it's up to me, I'm going Ibushi over Jay White all day, every day. If it's just, like, up to me personally. But, I mean, these guys are always going to have great matches against each other. And, you know, Ibushi's, for a while now, he's been one of, if not the best wrestlers in the world. And Jay White has been really impressive, in my opinion, throughout his New Japan run. I know a lot of people are kind of underwhelmed with him, but for what he does, I think he's really good at it. kind of the only downside to him, and I think he gets the comparison a lot, and it isn't really his fault, but he kind of was like the replacement for Kenny Omega in a lot of ways, like in the Bullet Club and as like kind of the Gaijin main event. Like they gave him the world title and the Intercontinental title and stuff like super fast. He was like a top guy, like super fast. Now this is of course after he had done his Young Boy stuff and his excursions, and he came back as Switchblade. That obviously I'm talking about since that time frame, but yeah, I mean, so once again, this isn't surprising because Jay White is New Japan Pro Wrestling is just super high on him. So a lot of finishes here that like they all make sense, but just personally speaking, I would have went the other way with a few of them. But once again, that's literal just personal opinion. As far as day four's results, we had a non-tournament match where Tsuji defeated Yomura. And then the rest of them being tournament matches, we had Hirooki Goto defeating Sonata. We had Yano defeating Hiroshi Tanahashi. Juice Robinson defeated Kenta. Evil defeated Yoshihashi. And Tetsuya Naito defeated Zack Sabre Jr. So, go over these. So, Goto beating Sonata, like, I don't hate it. I'm not, like, super high on either guy. Like, I like them both. They're both good, but, like, I don't get, like, overly excited for either guy like I do for a lot of the people in this tournament. I'm fine with the result, although it is still really strange to me that, like, Evil got that New Japan title. I know he's lost it to Naito since, but, like, I feel like Sonata is just so much better than Evil in, like, every way. And of that tag team, I feel like Sonata should have gotten that opportunity. So he's in a weird spot, and Goto's kind of in no man's land. I would really consider Goto more of like a gatekeeper in New Japan right now. Like, he's had his days where he was, you know, world title level, intercontinental title level. I remember him winning some big matches against Nakamura when Nakamura was like at his peak. Like, but right now, like, let's put it this way. I don't think either of these guys are winning the whole thing. We had Yano defeating Tanahashi. I hate that. Like, I am so not a fan of Yano. Like, I get that a lot of people like his comedy and all that kind of stuff. I've just never been a fan of his, and I really don't like seeing him beat Tanahashi. Now, you knew this was going to happen to some extent, because Yano has to get points on the board throughout this tournament, but I would not do it at the expense of Tanahashi. He wound up getting the win for what it's worth with a low blow, and wound up basically rolling him up after a low blow when the ref wasn't looking. So, I mean, he won with a low blow, but it's still Yano defeating Tanahashi, so I'm never going to like that outcome. I don't like Robinson over Kenta either. I'm a big fan of Kenta. I think that he needs to be heavily, heavily pushed. I know they're talking about him doing a match against Jon Moxley for the United States Championship, which I think would be great. I think they should definitely do that. But yeah, Robinson, another guy. Like, I liked him better a couple years ago than I do now. I think he's solid in the ring. There's just something there. I just don't connect with the guy. I know a lot of people do. Just not for me. I would have definitely went with Kenta over Juice here. Evil over Yoshihashi. I'm fine with this because, like, I'm not a fan of Evil, but I'm really not a fan of Yoshihashi. And it's not like, once again, I don't hate both guys, but it's like, this match was the least interesting of all of them to me. I'm really glad that Evil isn't the Intercontinental and World Heavyweight Champion anymore. Like, I really like that. But, you know, he lost his Zack Sabre Jr. last show also. So, yeah, this is kind of nothing for me. Neither of these guys should win the tournament, in my opinion. And obviously, I mean, it makes total sense that Evil would win. And Naito versus Zack Sabre Jr., I'm totally fine with this. It always makes sense for Naito to win any match that he's in. He's their top guy. Him, Okada, Tanahashi, like, there's a few of them, but, like, he's one of, like, the pillars of the company at the moment. So it's never going to be surprising to see Naito get a win. Zack Sabre Jr., I think, is incredible. I've been a fan of his for years. I think that it was great that he beat the former champion Evil in the first night of this. And Naito getting the win over Zack Sabre Jr. keeps Naito looking strong. I believe Naito's won both of his matches now. I think his first one was over Tanahashi, if I remember correctly. So Naito's going to be a definite force in this tournament. He's probably, I don't want to call him the favorite because, like, he's already the world champion and stuff. Like, I mean, if he won the whole thing, that would be really interesting, having both belts and winning. But I don't see that happening, but maybe it does. Like, there's really enough doubt there that maybe he could do that. I'd love to see Zack Sabre Jr. do that as well. Like win the tournament, take on Naito. But like I said, like, I'd love to see, I mean, I think Ishii versus Naito would be so good for the title, but I'm going to get off that for now. But yeah, that's New Japan's G1 Climax, nights 3 and 4. Really good stuff. Really, really good tournament so far, and I'll keep y'all updated each week here on The Weekender. Moving on, we have Impact Wrestling results. Started off with a triple threat X Division number one contenders match where Trey Miguel defeated TJP and Chris Bay. He winds up getting a shot at Rahit Raju's X Division championship. And that match happens right after. Just for what it's worth, Trey got the one with the diving meteora in that triple threat. Rahit Raju then wrestles Trey Miguel right away, immediately rolls him up for the 1-2-3, holds the tights to get the win there. After that, we get an interview where Tennille Dashwood is basically interviewed because she's going to be wrestling Jordan Grace in the main event of the show. That leads into Susie defeating Kimberly, gets the win with the panic switch for the 1-2-3. Gianna Perrazzo attacks Susie and Kylie after the match and puts Susie in a Fujiwara armbar. Kylie gets on the mic, and we're going to be getting Kylie and Deonna Perrazzo for the title at Bound for Glory, which makes all the sense in the world. Kylie has earned the title shot. Deonna's the champion. All makes sense. We get some more build-up backstage stuff with the Good Brothers, Motor City Machine Guns, Rascals, Good Brothers. Oh, I just mentioned the Good Brothers. Get a promo from EC3 talking about Moose. They're continuing that. Obviously, the big blow-off match between the two of them is coming up. So I fully expect EC3 to win that, by the way. Like, it would be shocking to me if Moose defeated EC3. We get an interview. Brian Myers talking about how he cheated before. And all that stuff. Like, so he's been cheating to beat Willie Mack. Willie Mack beat him last week. And Tommy Dreamer, like, so, okay, let me, Myers is talking to the interviewer backstage. They're talking about him cheating and the whole thing I just said with Willie Mack. Myers gets really upset and he, like, flips the table over with all the food on it and stuff. So Tommy Dreamer gets in his face and keeps telling Myers to clean it up, and is kind of cringe, to be honest. Like, it's like, clean it up, and like, no, I'm not gonna, and then, like, keeps telling him to, and then eventually Myers just is like, okay, I'm gonna clean it up. But, like, if I see you backstage next week, you better walk the other way. And it's, like, that was kind of lame, to be honest. Like, I'm okay with them doing a Myers versus Tommy Dreamer match, especially because they have, like, actual history. Like on a personal level, in a good way. Like, they're friends. But, that a whole feud based on flipping a table and catering is not that cool, in my opinion. The Deaners coming out for a match. Eric Young comes out and just beats the hell out of both of them. We get Sami Callihan versus RVD next. RVD gets the win after Katie Forbes sprays hairspray in Sami Callihan's eyes, and RVD hits a crucifix pin for the 1-2-3. After the match, Sammy's trying to get back at RVD, but he can't, but he is able to grab Katie Forbes, and he hits her with a nasty pile driver right in the middle of the ring. We get a backstage segment where the North, Ace Austin, and Madman Fulton are building something up. Looks like they're going to be having a match soon, and I think that's going to be really good. I think they're in the process of turning the North face. I think that's what's happening right now. Could be wrong, but that's the feeling I'm getting right now, and that's totally fine. I think the North needs something new to do. I think they're still one of the best tag teams in the world. I think they have the best overall tag team move arsenal of any team in the world right now. As far as, like, the double team moves that Alexander and Paige do together, I think that they have the best variety of moves they do. So for whatever that's worth. And I also think that Ace Austin is a guy who Impact Wrestling should do everything they possibly can to sign him long term and make him the focal point of the company going forward. I love Eric Young as a champion. I think he should have a long title reign. I think that him and Rich Swann's going to be awesome, and I think it leads to a whole lot of possibilities with Willie Mack and a whole bunch of people. But Ace Austin is somebody who needs to be in that mix soon, too, for sure. And in the main event, Tennille Dashwood defeats Jordynne Grace, hits her with a spotlight kick for the 1-2-3. I mean, I'm fine with Tennille Dashwood getting a win on her first night back in the company. I don't like it being at the expense of Jordynne Grace, though. I think that Jordynne Grace needs to be protected better than this. I think that, you know, it was already questionable to me having her lose to Deonna Purrazzo back-to-back. And they made Grace look really good in the Iron Man match. They made it look like Deonna basically should have lost that match. But in their match between the two of them at Slammiversary, where Deonna won the title from Jordynne, was really good. Probably the best match of the whole night. That's saying something because the show was really good. So all that being said, I personally think Jordynne Grace is a way better wrestler than Tennille Dashwood. I think Dashwood's super hot. I think that she's a good wrestler. Like she definitely deserves her spot, but I don't think she deserves a spot like above Jordynne Grace right away either. Like I don't mean any of this against Dashwood. It's just circumstance. It's like Dashwood, I feel like, could have come in and beat like anyone except for Jordynne Grace. If she would have come in and beat anyone but Jordynne Grace or Deonna Purrazzo, it would have been totally fine with it. But because it was Jordynne Grace, I'm like, ah, oh, damn. I think they're doing my girl Jordynne dirty there. So that is results for Impact. Another solid show. It's been good consistently. So I'd highly recommend checking out Impact if you haven't been watching, especially leading into their next big pay-per-view and stuff. Like there's a lot of good stuff going on. Up next, we have 205 Live results. Mansoor kicked off the show by defeating Ashante the Adonis. He got the win with the Sands of Time. Shout out to Alex Pulaski and Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com. Sands of Time. So now that's what he's calling his finishing move. So, you know, good for him. Mansoor, been looking solid. 205 Live is the best spot for him right now. Like, just keep getting your reps in. Go out there, getting a little mini push on 205, do some things in NXT here and there. You know, obviously he always kills it in the Middle East. But yeah, I mean, just keep doing his thing. I think he's a guy that is going to have a job in the WWE for a really long time. Not just because of what he can do in the Middle East for them and everything, but he's definitely talented and he's improving and he's young and there's a lot of upside to him still. And same with Ashante the Adonis, formerly known as Tahuti Miles. A lot of potential there, too. The only other match we had on the show was the main event, which was Isaiah Swerve Scott defeating Ari Daivari. Got the win with his kick, the house call, where Daivari's kind of crouched on the ground. He's like kneeling, and Swerve hits him with the kind of like the step up kick. I don't know what you really would call it, but he calls it the house call. Got the win with that. And they're still building towards Isaiah Scott versus Santos Escobar again for the Cruiserweight title, which I think is great. They should definitely do that again. I think that should be on the pay-per-view tonight. That should be on Clash of Champions, in my opinion. They'd have a really good match, even if it was on the pre-show, but it really shouldn't be. It should be on the main card. Or you know what? Maybe not Clash of Champions. They have the NXT pay-per-view coming up on, I think, October 4th. That's where to do it. So I'll go with that. They should be doing that Cruiserweight title match on that TakeOver show. Hopefully they do. So yeah, another solid little 205 Live. Say it all the time. No real stakes on the show. But you know, if you got some free time, really good wrestling. Moving on, we have NXT UK. So they're just now getting back. Show kicked off with Walter defeating Saxon Huxley. He just squashes the hell out of him, comes up, hits him with, just power bombs. I mean, just power bomb in the apron, power bomb in the ring, butterfly suplex, power bomb, like just complete squash. Walter just took out 6 months of frustration being on the sidelines with the, you know, the whole brand being on the sidelines for the last 6 months, but Walter really showing his frustration, coming out and just being super dominant. Then we had Pretty Deadly defeating the Hunt in tag team action. It was a roll-up. Wild Boar was rolled up by Lewis Howley. So that's how that match ended. You know, solid little tag team match. And the main event, we had the NXT UK Women's Championship. Kylie Rae defeated Piper Nevin. She got the win after, so the turnbuckle was exposed, and Kylie Rae basically like backdropped Piper Nevin onto it and got the pin off of that, which, you know, good for her. Like, solid match. Two really solid women's wrestlers. So yeah, I mean, solid show. NXT UK, it's just going to be really hard to create buzz for the show right now. It just is. I think that Walter is fantastic. They have a lot of really good talent, and they have this Heritage Cup coming up. So maybe that'll help create buzz. I'll actually talk about that right now, that tournament. So the rules for this tournament, and then I'll talk about the competitors, and I believe we have the matchups too. Let me actually pull the matchups also. NXT UK Heritage Cup brackets. So we'll talk about the rules first, then we'll go over the brackets. So a lot of tournaments going on right now. This, the G1, the ROH Pure, a lot of good stuff going on. So all three matches consist of six 3-minute rounds with 20-second breaks in between each round. All three matches are 2 out of 3 falls. Falls can be won by pinfall, submission, or knockout. Once a fall occurs, the round ends. The match ends once a wrestler has won 2 falls. In the event of a disqualification or knockout, the match instantly ends without the need for 2 falls. And if all 6 rounds are completed, whomever is ahead on falls wins the match. So a lot of rules there. But it'll be fun to watch. It's kind of like, it's like old school British wrestling. So something different, which I'm always cool with something different. As far as the first round matchups, we have Joseph Connors defeating. I don't know the results here yet. Joseph Connors will be wrestling Dave Mastiff. We have a wild card entrant, so a mystery opponent somewhere, against Trent Seven. We have Flash Morgan Webster versus A Kid. Noam Dar versus Alexander Wolf with Pete Dunne as the referee. And Pete Dunne was like getting in like everyone's face during the drawings for the matchups and stuff during this. So it's interesting with Dunne serving as a referee. And it really looks like they're doing Dunne versus Noam Dar. That looks like that's where that's really headed, in my opinion. So we'll see how this all plays out. As far as, I'll do some predictions for these. I won't do a full, because I don't know who the wild card entrant is going to be, but I feel like they've got to beat Trent Seven if in a wild card. They got to go with the surprise. I'm going to say Mastiff over Connors, wild card over Trent Seven. I'd like to see Flash Morgan Webster go over A-Kid, but I think I got to go with A-Kid. I'd much rather see Flash Morgan Webster win. But they seem to be higher on A-Kid. It's a tough one. Heart says Webster, mine says A-Kid. And I'll say Alexander Wolf beats Noam Dar because I think Pete Dunne, something goes on between him and Pete Dunne. So yeah, we'll see how all that goes. Once again, I like that NXT UK is doing something different. I mentioned like it's going to be tough to get a ton of buzz around NXT UK. Like, they didn't have a lot of buzz before it went away, and now it's going to be hard to create and then keep that momentum. But at least they're doing something different with the tournament. So I'll keep y'all updated throughout that tournament here on the Weekender. Moving on, we have UWN Primetime Live results. This was the second week of shows that they've been doing on Fight TV. Last week included Nick Aldis retaining his National Wrestling Alliance Heavyweight Championship over Mike Bennett. And on this show, these are the results. We had Kevin Martinson defeating Danny Limelight. Eli Drake defeated Watts. The Real Money Brothers defeated The Family Farm. Carl Fredericks defeated Slice Boogie. And in the main event, National Wrestling Alliance Women's Champion Thunder Rosa retained her title against Priscilla Kelly. So, good to see Eli Drake on the show. I think that Rosa and Kelly was really good. I think that Rosa is just, she's just fantastic. Like, Rosa specifically, so good. I've talked about that week after week here. She's been doing a lot with AEW lately. I think she's outshined the entire AEW women's division. I know an argument can be made for Shida. Like, that's totally fine. But outside of Shida, I don't think anyone really compares to Thunder Rosa on the current AEW women's roster. And I think Thunder Rosa just, in general, is one of the best female wrestlers in the entire world right now. She's like a small step under Tessa Blanchard, in my opinion. And Charlotte Flair is up there. Asuka's up there. There's some really good talent right now. But I think Thunder Rosa is way, way, way up there. She's in the conversation for best in the world right now, in my opinion. So, yeah, that was Primetime Live. Not a whole lot to talk about. They're doing more of these shows on Fight TV if you want to check them out. And I'll keep updating you on the results here on the weekend or each week. And similar to those shows, Warrior Wrestling Stadium Series, I've been giving you the results the last few weeks, so I figure I'd keep it rolling. We had a show on the 26th, so this was just yesterday. Moose defeated Suicide. Mike Bennett defeated Cheeseburger. Isaiah Velasquez defeated Travis Titan. Rhino defeated Beastman, who subbed in for Lance Archer. I love how Rhino, who's the Man Beast, wrestled a guy called Beastman. We had a six-person scramble match where Airwolf defeated Angel Durando, Jason Page, Sam Beal, Davey Bang, and the Savage King. Zachary Wentz defeated Blake Christian. This is fire. Like, this is like one where if there's anything you need to check out from the show, it's Wentz versus Christian. Both guys are incredible. Christian is a dude who, like, he's upper echelon in the indies right now. Same kind of level where, like, he'll either be main eventing for a while here soon, indie-wise, or he'll wind up getting signed. Like, a company like AEW, I could see jumping all over Blake Christian soon, especially with the recent success of Ben Carter. Like, Blake Christian could for sure, I mean, yeah, and Zach Wentz already, you know, a part of Impact Wrestling with the Rascals. So, two young, super talented guys. I mean, this is just great stuff here. We had a No Hold Barred match where Joey Janela defeated Robert Ego Anthony, who had Frank the Clown in his corner. And, we had two more matches. The Warrior Wrestling Women's Championship, Kylie Rae defeated Madison Rayne to retain the title. And this was Kylie Rae's first defense after defeating Tessa Blanchard for the title on the last show. And then we have Trey Miguel defeating Brian Cage and Brian Pillman Jr. to become the brand new Warrior Wrestling champion. So Trey Miguel is now the Warrior Wrestling champion, taking out Brian Cage and Brian Pillman Jr. Another really good match. That's another one I'd really recommend. So, I mean, the No Holds Bar with Janela and Ego is good too. But actually, this whole show is really good. It's definitely worth checking out. But I would highlight Wentz versus Christian, and I would also highlight Miguel versus Cage and Pillman Jr. All right. Do a recap here of the latest Being the Elite episode. This is titled Sue. Show starts off with Young Bucks outside with Brandon Cutler. They don't want to film Being the Elite, and Nick flicks off the camera. We then see Silver and Reynolds trying to recruit Britt Baker to the Dark Order. They're talking about things like how valuable she could be to the Dark Order with her skills of making bread and cakes and those kind of things. They clearly think that Britt Baker is a baker, and it's because it's in her name. Britt says that she's not a baker and she's a dentist, and she just totally blows them off and declines being a part of the Dark Order. Brandon Cutler sneaks into Tony Khan's office, and he's looking for money because the Young Bucks, you know, threw a bunch of money into Tony Khan's office after getting fined. And Cutler's like, hey, I could probably find some of this and, you know, get some money for myself. So he finds a bunch of money hidden in the ceiling, but then the camera guy talks about how Tony's on his way. And we've been getting this recurring segment that I just don't get the meme. So someone maybe let me know in the comments here, or, you know, hit me up on Twitter at @fighttalk_. I don't know what this meme is, but they've been doing it week after week where, like, you're like running down a hall and there's the same music playing in the background. And Cutler does that again this week. After that, we see the Dark Order locker room. Grayson is pissed off. He's talking about how he wants to kill Silver for trying to frame him last week. Last week, they tried to, they wrote on, basically Silver and Reynolds wrote Brody sucks on a bathroom mirror and tried to pin it on Stu Grayson. He keeps talking about how he wants to kill John Silver. Evil Uno is trying to talk him out of it, says he has to do like 6 pages of paperwork if he kills somebody. Uno also winds up calling Fives Wigdom, and Five, aka Allen Angels, gets his feelings hurt and kind of disappears, which was actually pretty funny. Anna Jay comes in, and Stu Grayson is actually like afraid of Anna Jay. Anna winds up grabbing him by the ear and said that they need to talk, and she like drags him out of the room. After that, we see Colt Cabana talking to Dr. Samson. He's still trying to get his face fixed. Samson tells him he's not a doctor, he's an athletic trainer, he can't do like facial surgery and stuff like that. But Colt convinces him to try to help him. And later on in the show, we see that it's funny how they did it, because so Samson winds up making Colt Cabana look exactly like Michael Nakazawa. And obviously it is Michael Nakazawa on camera, but Colt Cabana is using his voice as Nakazawa, like lips Colt's words, which was pretty funny. After that, we see Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy talking to Tay Conti. They're at a bar. Cutler has a dragon mask on, and Luchasaurus hates dragons, and he winds up leaving the room. Thought this was pretty stupid, to be honest. Silver is on Reynolds' shoulders and goes into the Dark Order locker room. They're wearing a Brody Lee jacket. Best example I can give for this, for any kind of 90s kids out there, is it's like the Little Rascals, where they go on each other's shoulders in one big suit and try to pretend like they're adults. That's what Reynolds and Silver did here with Brody Lee's jacket. And they're basically mocking Brody Lee the whole time. Brody, of course, walks in as this is happening. And then Sue, Trent's mom, comes in. She has lunch for everyone. And everyone's like, oh, thanks, Sue. Thank you, Mom. I love you, Mom. Which is pretty funny. They all are super nice to Sue and pretty much treat her like a mother figure. Brody, after Sue leaves the room, Brody spikes the lunch on the ground. And then Sue walks back in, and Brody blames Silver for it. Says that Silver doesn't like Sue's cooking. And Sue throws the papers at Silver. And it was really funny because she misses the first time. And then, like, everyone's corpsing. Like, the whole room's, like, trying so hard not to laugh, but they pretty much all are. And Brody tells Sue to throw the papers again, and Sue throws them, and Brody tells Silver to sell for Stu, and he's selling it like she, you know, hurt him, which, really funny stuff. Like this a lot. After that, we get a bunch of clips of the Best Friends versus Proud and Powerful street fight, which in my opinion was the best street fight that like we've ever seen in wrestling history. Best like backstage locker room, parking lot brawl type thing for sure. Really, really great stuff. Then we see a segment where Sue is doing voodoo dolls of Santana and Ortiz. She's like putting pins in different body parts, and the two of them are like selling those body parts from, you know, another location. Like, what the hell's going on? Definitely thought this was weird. I get the link between Santana Ortiz and Sue, but the whole voodoo dolls thing is weird. And then we get a monologue or a montage of like basically the Young Bucks kind of turning heel over the last few weeks. We're seeing a whole bunch of that stuff. Matt Jackson is sitting alone looking at his phone, and he pulls up an old tweet. The tweet says, "One day we'll wrestle the Revival and everyone will rejoice. Remember this tweet." I believe the tweet was originally from sometime in 2018. And that's how the show ends. It's the cliffhanger of, you know, it's coming soon. We're going to be getting FTR versus the Young Bucks very soon. And it should be for the tag team titles. I mean, FTR holds the belts right now. I totally see them holding the belts until the big showdown with the Young Bucks. So Really great stuff there. Another really solid episode of Being the Elite. And before we get out of here, I'm going to give you some really quick predictions for WWE Clash of Champions 2020, which is later tonight. I'm going to take Bobby Lashley to retain the U.S. title over Apollo Crews. I'm going to take Andrade and Angel Garza to win the Raw Tag Team titles. Take Sami Zayn to defeat AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy for the Intercontinental Championship in that ladder match. I'm going to take Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro to defeat the Lucha House Party and retain the SmackDown Tag Team titles. I'm going to take Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler to defeat the Riot Squad to retain the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. I'm going to take Bayley defeating Nikki Cross to retain the SmackDown Women's title. I'm going to take Asuka to defeat Zelina Vega to retain the Raw Women's title. I'm going to take Randy Orton to defeat Drew McIntyre to become the new WWE champion. And I'm going to take Roman Reigns to defeat Jey Uso to retain the WWE Universal Championship. If you'd like to hear a full prediction show with me and Jesse Davin, we recorded one yesterday. You can check it out on her YouTube channel or check me out on Twitter at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. I have links available on my page. So we have audio and video versions of that, and you can get full detailed reasonings and conversation and predictions for this show there if you want to check it out. So that's going to do it for the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.